nice warm bed. You just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
And good afternoon, and welcome to Community Living Show here on CFRO 100.5 FM, Vancouver's Co-op Radio, and live on the NCRA networks across Canada. So, Kelly is still out on assignment in Cambodia. He should be back next week, and we'll have lots of really fun stories from him about what happened in Cambodia. Today, though, I'm here with Marie Kern from the Sorcerer's Raven Productions.
Hello.
And you have, you've been involved in a few crowdfunds that have been going on, and you have some updates.
Yeah. Well, this week we have an update for the fibromyalgia video that we are going to include in our campaigns for raising funds. And this one here that we're going to play for you is one with we did with Cheryl, who is the founder of Fibromyalgia Wellsprings Foundation. And Michael here has been the interviewer.
Yeah, I actually had the honor of once again interviewing Cheryl. And why don't we play the clip, and then we'll come back with some more updates about how their whole project's coming along, because we have news on that, don't we?
A little bit, yes.
Okay. So we'll be right back with that. Cheryl, how did your journey with fibromyalgia first start?
Looking back over the years from running all these support groups, you look at what the trigger was. Mm-hmm. And mine goes back to about when I was 4, because I've always noticed I was a little bit different. At 4, I drowned, and I was brought, of course, back to life, or I wouldn't be here. And then over the years, at 15, I had a horrific fall, which affected my neck and my lower back, where it fractured. I fell off a horse, which is like a gymnastic tool that you will go over. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you had a couple of car accidents. And then in 92, things got really bad, and I couldn't hardly move. And I had a bit of depression then, too, and stuff like that. And the doctor was very good. She helped me because she didn't know what it was either. Nobody knew. No one knew at all what this condition was. She researched it and came out with the diagnosis of fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and of course the rheumatoid arthritis, which was coming from being a gymnast, you know, the stress on the body.
Right.
So I was in a wheelchair in 92.
You said how you were first diagnosed, and you were given a diagnosis of rheumatoid arthritis along with the fibromyalgia. How did that affect everything?
Well, you know, it affects the muscles in the body.
Yeah.
And so over the years, they did tell me that eventually I would be in a wheelchair. That would be my life work. So about 2.5 years ago, when I, in the middle of the night, I got like vertigo and nauseous and that, I couldn't move my head. And finally woke up from it. It took me a while to get out of that sleep, and then I couldn't move my head, and I went, oh my god, what's happened here? You know, it's that rheumatoid arthritis has finally attacked my neck. And I thought, what use would I be? Again, you go back to the use, you know, you're changing. And I went, well, if Christopher Reeve can do it, I can do it. Because with the foundation, there was so much to be done still, that I wasn't ready to just say, I give up, right?
How do others perceive you?
Well, I guess I look good. They don't realize how much pain I'm in. They don't understand how, say in a parking lot, and that we have to park in the handicapped parking, because some days I can hardly move. And I have a cane there, and sometimes you feel, well, maybe I should just grab the cane to walk across the parking lot so that people think, well, I have a reason to be parked there. Because invisible illnesses, you really can't tell when we're having a good day or not. We don't have lights on that say, hey, bad day, bad day, bad day, right? So we just look great. It's different when you're in a wheelchair or have a cane or some kind of a disability that you can see. It's an invisible illness. So it's really challenging. See, I do get lost in a parking lot. Other people might not, but that was one of the things that I was challenged with, was confusion. And so that's, I do use a cart too, in a shopping cart, just so that keeps me balanced. So,
Why is it that we need to get this story told and we need to get awareness?
We need to be heard. We need more compassion. Someone has to go out there and carry that torch. Hey, why not me? I've been asked to do it. I've been given a mission. And I'm quite willing to take it on. It doesn't bother me to take one step at a time. It's all about making that effort to make that one step. Because you know what? I still can. So if I can do it, anyone can do it.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Michael.
It's been great interviewing you.
Thank you very much.
So that was our interview with Cheryl Young. We actually shot that in their kitchen, right?
That is correct. Yep.
Yeah, it was that was a lot of fun. It's like you'd actually have to get to know Cheryl's husband Nigel with all the wires we had all over the place for the mic cords and hooking the cameras up and everything. It's like,
and the cat's tap dancing on the floor.
Yes, the cat's tap dancing on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was that like? Was your first time being on sound, wasn't it?
Yeah. It won't be the last, I'm sure.
Yeah. So what was that like, the first time hearing all that sound at one time?
Yeah. It was a very interesting experience.
Yeah. So, interestingly enough, usually I'm the one who's on the soundboard and... because I was actually doing the interviewing, I let Marie do it, and she got a taste of, it's like, when all the mics are on, you can actually hear like a pin drop. So, so the cat's nails on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's probably pretty funny. So, so how close are we to getting them launched for the Indiegogo?
Well, I'd like to first talk about the campaign itself. Fibromyalgia Wellsprings Foundation was founded by Cheryl Young in 2006.
Right.
And for those of you who are interested in for donations and things like that, you could go down to their Wellspring Foundation thrift shop in the heart of Langley, BC. You might want to check
that
out.
Oh, yeah. That's a really eclectic place, too. They have, like, tons and tons of stuff. And I like the way they kind of display it, so it's easy to look through, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very well set up little shop, and you get to talk to the people there. And if you have any questions about what is fibromyalgia, they'll be more than happy to explain what it is. It's a hidden disease that, what does it affect? The muscles and
it's muscle and connective tissues.
Right.
Yeah.
And it makes you very, very tired and depressed. And there's been moments where some people couldn't even get out of bed for a long time.
Yeah, that was one of the things. There's another cut of Cheryl's story where it was a longer piece of that thing that she's talking about where she actually had to have babysitters and everything else because she couldn't move, and in case she needed something, that she had a babysitter for a number of months or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yes, they're planning on going on a very long trip from Langley to Banff, Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
And they're raising funds on GoFundMe, and you can find them at GoFundMe at, what did you say?
I think it was...
Just One More Step, and that's just with a number one more step 2016.
Yes.
And they only got 150 now, but we're looking for more donations to help the cost of the walk itself, because there's going to be a few of us going on this walk, and for food and shoes and
It's like 20 people going and things like that. Mm-hmm. Drivers for the because there'll be also RVs and things like that. They got to work down to like the details of showering and everything else, right?
Oh yeah, they're very well organized.
Yeah,
and we just need the funding for that.
Yeah, so go to GoFundMe.com, mm-hmm. and it is just one the number one more step 2016, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Donate what you can. You know, it's like every dollar counts, mm-hmm. right?
Because these people are very, very brave to do this. It is a lot of work for them to do some walking. So to do this kind of walk is very, very powerful for them.
Yeah. So so I guess it's getting closer and closer, just a matter of weeks now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we're just... I believe the walk is scheduled to start on May 24th.
Yeah, May 24th, yeah. So, yeah.
And it's a 40-day walk.
Yeah, if you go, again, it's their thrift shop is in downtown Langley. May 24th, put it in your schedule, calendar, however you need to do it. Make your iPhone chime or your Samsung Galaxy sing. But make sure you're there to send these guys off on this walk. It's going to be quite the journey for them. Yeah. So, so you know what? We're going to do a quick station ID. Of course, you're listening to Community Living Radio here on live on CFRO 100.5, which is Vancouver's cooperative radio. And also on the NCRA networks across Canada and BC. So, and of course, I'm Michael. Kelly's still in Cambodia. But he's doing well. I did talk to him on Skype. He's doing well. There's something, I think, like something crazy, like an 18-hour difference or something like that. So right now, he's still asleep. That's what it is. He's still asleep right now, so we can't talk to him just yet. So I just happened to get lucky yesterday when I talked to him on our 1 hour special that I was able to talk to him on Skype while we were broadcasting. So
that's fun.
Yeah, it was pretty fun. So yeah, so we get to do part of the show and he's in different parts of the world. Gotta love Skype, right?
Power of technology.
The power of technology, yes. So what else is going on? Of course, you're the lead for the Sorcerer's Raven Productions, mm-hmm. and the lead character developer for Tales of Mithril.
Yeah. As we played, was it 2 weeks ago, we played the teaser trailer for Mithril, and yes. we also played the interview that we were on Access Television.
Again, that was with Kelly, right?
That is right.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And we're also involved with promoting a feature film called An Open Door.
Yeah. And, how's that moving along? I know there is on YouTube, if you Google on YouTube An Open Door Film, you should be able to find a clip. Or a teaser or something like that, right?
An animation clip with a voiceover. It's just like a door opening. And this turned out really nice. Yeah.
Hang on here a second. Let's see if we can get that up. Hold on.
Hey, an intense prison riot. Who will survive? An Open Door is a film about hope and change. It's about how the choices we make in life can lead us down the wrong path or the right path. And the choices are to make. Do we fall between the cracks? Do we become a victim of the system? Or do we overcome the challenge thrown at us and learn from those challenges?
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I believe Michael did all the sound effects for that.
No, not me. It must have been different, Michael. No, actually, I did do the sound effects for that. And that was pretty interesting because Cynthia Pace, our friend, and of course the narrator for that, she's got a tiny voice. Mm-hmm. And it was just the challenge was making her voice big. So.
And it turned out really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the animation, the way you made the door and all that kind of stuff, that was just really cool. It was like, you could almost picture yourself being walked down a hallway into a jail or a prison.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. But Peter, he's been pretty key in some stuff for us also. He has some really great connections to Hollywood. You know, there's some other projects that he actually worked on that linked him to some pretty big name A-list actors. So, because he's spent a number of years in the film industry itself, right?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So for this particular project and for just one more step, he's been pretty instrumental in helping us get some celebrity sponsorship and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and of course. A lot of the of which you heard, like the lines and everything that you've heard people say, the questions I asked in the interview, the narration and everything, that was our good friend
Dale Gillespie
and former Santa Claus.
That's right.
He's a really great scriptwriter.
Mm-hmm. He wants to be back in the Santa seat again on the Vancouver Rogers Parade.
Yeah.
But right now there's another guy playing Santa.
Yeah.
But so. Dale has also written scripts for Tales of Mithril and other animated series that Sources Raven Productions is working on.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons he stepped down, he had some health issues, right?
His back? I think it was arthritis in his back.
Arthritis in his back. That's what it is. Again, hidden illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Which is one of the reasons why he's so enthusiastic with fibromyalgia and getting this campaign off the ground and getting this illness and creating awareness for it.
Yeah. So he's written a few scripts to... Okay, so it doesn't matter what the interview is. There's usually some sort of a script or a format that has to go with it. Otherwise, we just sound like babbling idiots. even today, we had a layout of what we were going to talk about. And that's what makes Dale's part in this so key, mm-hmm. is he's actually the one keeping what you see on screen on track.
Pretty much, yes.
It's like what he writes down becomes the Bible.
Mm-hmm. When I also draw storyboards for the animated series and and possibly for the future projects with video mastery and stuff like that, the way Dell writes allows me to see what's going on so I could quickly draw it out, and that will allow us to either have the animated scene shot in that angle or have the angle camera shot in that angle.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool work what he actually does. Yeah. So what else is up and coming?
Other than we're, again, Dale and I are doing a project, and right now we have a short script sent to our voice actors. And we are putting together a little short animated short of one of our anime series, and we're going to send that to Nickelodeon.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Yeah. So, cross fingers, hopefully we get chosen for that.
Yay. Because, again, that means funding and things like that, which is good. So, our one last friend, of course, Daniel Wu with Hidden Illnesses. Now, Daniel and I have been friends for, God, longer than I guess since dirt, shall we say. And right now, he's having a, Dave actually, and the reason I bring this up is because we're getting back to Hidden Illnesses again. A lot of people, they say, well, you know, Daniel doesn't really do much. Daniel's this or Daniel's that. Daniel just doesn't ever want to come out to things. He doesn't want to really be involved. And most of it is far from the truth, right?
Pretty much.
So he had an adjustment in his medications. They changed something or another, increased something or something, or whatever it is. And right now, he can't even, he's stuck in bed, basically.
Which is not cool.
Yeah. It's somebody who wants to stay active. We've talked about a number of different hidden illnesses, fibromyalgia. And we talked about Dale with arthritis. Chronic fatigue. And Daniel has lupus. And some of the side effects to his medication, because lupus is one of those things, is your immune system attacks you. Instead of attacking outside disease, it decides it wants to attack you. So he has to have immune medication to suppress this effect.
I think it had something to do with his kidney transplant.
Yeah, he's also had a kidney transplant. Yes, that's right. And so right now, what it is the reason why he can't get out is because his feet are so swollen because of one of the side effects to the medications that he's bedridden right now.
Doesn't sound like fun.
No. You know. So, you know, part of the point of us working on Hidden Illnesses is because we want things to become aware, so that if you're touched by a hidden illness, be it fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, lupus, depression, which is one we didn't talk about, and it's something that another friend of mine is going through with her husband, that he's seeing stuff. And believe it or not, usually depression really isn't that obvious.
No.
It's usually a little more subtle than that.
No, most of the time, a person's just sitting alone in a room with all these no-no thoughts of like darkness and suicide and just like why do I exist type of.
Exactly. Knowledge. It's not the why do I exist, like the philosophical reasoning of mathematical.
Or why should I keep going?
Yeah. This becomes you're sitting in a dark place and, you know, trying to figure out, should I take that next breath or not?
Yeah.
So, anyway, but this is the reason why we're doing what we're doing, is we want people to become aware that's like, okay, my friend isn't coming out anymore. They're staying indoors. They're becoming less and less active. You know, instead of unfriending them. Okay, sorry for the Facebook thing, but anyway, instead of just leaving them alone, go visit them. Go find out what's going on. Go
give
look
them
and
a
see.
Phone call.
Yeah. You know, and that's the point of awareness for hidden illnesses, is just get out there and find out what's going on, mm-hmm. rather than figuring, oh, well, they just don't want to be friends anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
don't leave them in that dark place.
Yeah. Bring the light.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's going to segue into our last song, because we had to get a song in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's by our friend Karina Keeley, who actually has been in here a few times in the studio. And it is actually one of my favorite songs of hers. It's called Love is the Movement. So, and Newt Dedoon will be coming up with the A-Train for those of you who are listening on Co-op Radio. All right. It's been another Friday. Have fun, guys.
Thank you.
Evolves and changes all the time in terms of the specific issue that I'm lit up about. But the heart of it is the same, is that it's, I have a lot of faith in us. So thanks for coming up and singing with you guys. And you, just because you're not standing up here doesn't mean you can't sing along.
We are the ones.